The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Today is Monday, February 27th. We'll tell you which American agency now thinks the lab leak theory is the most likely cause of the pandemic, and why there's a holdup on a new at-home COVID test that also checks for the flu. Also, new data about Americans stepping up to help Ukrainians coming to the U.S. Plus, which well-known comic strip is now being pulled from newspapers nationwide. What to expect from one of the tech industry's biggest events of the year. And which movie won big at last night's unusual SAG Awards. Those stories and more news to know next. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in around 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. Well, it's a huge shift from one American government agency about how COVID-19 actually came to be. The U.S. Energy Department says it's not sure, but that it thinks the most likely cause of the pandemic was a mishap at a Chinese laboratory. News outlets like the New York Times and Wall Street Journal cite sources who say the update was laid out in a classified intelligence report that went to the White House and key members of Congress. The Energy Department apparently has some new evidence to support it, and the FBI has been leaning toward that theory for a while. Even still, four other agencies and a national intelligence panel don't agree. They think the pandemic most likely came from a natural cause, like that perhaps it spread from an infected animal. Two other agencies are undecided. But a turnaround from the Energy Department could be significant, since that's the agency that oversees America's national laboratories. Some scientists, lawmakers, and intelligence officials have been pushing for more research into the origin of the pandemic, saying it could be important to prevent and respond to future health crises. But that could be tough given the fact that China opposes any future investigation. And pretty much everyone agrees Wuhan, China is where the pandemic started, even if we don't know for sure how. To be continued. Federal agencies are stepping up their outreach in East Palestine, Ohio, where that toxic train derailment has sparked worry and outrage. The CDC, EPA, and FEMA started going door to door visiting homes over the weekend. They're asking how people are doing, seeing what they need, and connecting them with the right resources. For example, if they want their drinking water tested or if they want free health checks. This initiative came as House Republicans opened an investigation into the derailment and the Biden administration's response. Already, critics have been blaming President Biden and Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg for not responding right away. So the White House has started defending itself there, saying the EPA was on the ground within hours of the derailment. And the next day, the White House offered federal assistance. Some people are still calling for President Biden to go visit the area himself. Today, the United Nations' top human rights group will kick off its latest and longest ever session. The diplomats have a lot to talk about over the next few weeks, like Russia's war in Ukraine, documented abuses in China's Xinjiang region, a crackdown on anti-government protests in Iran, and more. Overall, the UN Human Rights Council is made up of 47 member countries. And things could get tense, especially today when Iran's foreign minister is expected to speak and China's foreign minister is set to make a statement by video. Russia's representative is expected to attend on Thursday. You may remember last year, many diplomats walked out of the council chamber as the Russian foreign minister appeared on video to show they opposed the Ukraine invasion. This year, we're also expected to see some heated debates and new resolutions. 1 year into Russia's war on Ukraine, more than 200,000 Americans have stepped up to help Ukrainians come to the U.S. New reports cite federal data that shows Americans in all 50 states have applied to sponsor those looking for safety since the war began. So far, more than 250,000 Ukrainians have actually arrived here. And around 115,000 of those came under the program set up last year called Uniting for Ukraine. It's an unprecedented policy in the U.S. that helped fast-track the process, bringing four times as many people into the country last year than the traditional refugee admission system. Of course, it's just a small fraction of the millions displaced by this war. And technically, the Ukrainians coming to the U.S. through the program are not legally refugees, which would have offered a path to permanent residency. Instead, they have 2 years to stay. So as the fighting drags on, some advocates are worried about what will happen to the Ukrainians in the U.S. when that time is up. Biden administration officials, though, have responded to critics who say Ukrainians are treated better than other migrant groups by saying the difference is most Ukrainians plan to return home when the war ends. Stay tuned. A winter storm that brought rare snow to Southern California is now bringing snow, sleet, and freezing rain to parts of the Great Lakes and East Coast. The people expected to get the brunt of the storm today live in northern Wisconsin and northern Michigan, as well as most of New England. That's not quite as unusual as what we saw the last few days. In California, even people in deserts and valleys got a fresh dusting of snow. And unheard of amounts of snow were recorded in the mountains, like more than 3 feet on Mount Baldy near downtown Los Angeles and more than 2 feet on Mount Laguna in San Diego County. Further north, Yosemite National Park is closed until Wednesday because of severe winter conditions. And for the next few days, blizzard warnings are in effect for much of the Sierra Nevada. More news is coming up, but first, thanks to our sponsor, Tommy John. As the weather gets warmer, or at least we start getting excited and thinking about the weather getting warmer soon, and jackets and hibernation sweats can finally come off, what should you be putting on? The easy answer is the new Tommy John loungewear. Let me tell you, I love my Tommy John loungewear no matter the season. It is the softest fabric I own, and it always lays just right. And it's no wonder, since now I know Tommy John loungewear, pajamas, and underwear have dozens of comfort innovations, like luxuriously soft tri-blend and micromodal fabrics with four-way stretch. And I appreciate that I feel cozy, but still look stylish, so that I can wear my loungewear out and about this spring as well. I originally found Tommy John through a friend's recommendation, and so I'm really happy I get to be the one spreading the word now. With over 20 million pairs sold and thousands of five-star reviews, people love Tommy John for good reason. Shop Tommy John's colorful new spring designs at tommyjohn.com/newsworthy, and you can get 20% off your first order. Save 20% right now at tommyjohn.com/newsworthy. See site for details. The FDA okayed the first over-the-counter at-home test that can pick up both COVID-19 and the flu. But there is one problem. Just 2 days before the FDA gave its authorization, the company that makes the test announced it filed for bankruptcy. The reason? It expected that authorization back in August, before the peak of flu season. So it went ahead with manufacturing the test without getting any money from sales for months. And it's now trying to sell its business. So it's not clear when the test is actually going to be on store shelves. Still, the FDA is calling this authorization a milestone. This test is more sensitive than the rapid antigen tests for COVID-19 out there right now. Assuming it does hit the market eventually, it will come in a nasal swab and will be available for anyone ages 2 and up. Expect some big announcements in big tech this week. The Mobile World Congress, or MWC for short, kicks off today. It's the world's biggest and most influential meeting for the mobile tech industry. Companies will show off new phones, metaverse experiences, AI-powered chatbots, and more. Plus, there will be a lot of attention on potential uses for 5G wireless technology that could end up powering automated factories, driverless cars, and even smart cities. More than 80,000 people, like tech executives, inventors, and regulators, are expected to be there, including Google's parent company Alphabet, Facebook and Instagram's owner Meta, Microsoft, and Netflix. MWC is happening all week through Friday. One well-known comic strip is getting pulled from newspapers all around the country. Hundreds of publications like The Washington Post, New York Times, LA Times, and USA Today Network announced they will no longer publish Dilbert. They're reacting to Dilbert's creator posting a racist rant on YouTube last week. In it, he called Black Americans a hate group and said white Americans should stay away from them. Since then, he went back on YouTube to say his comments were taken out of context, but then said, quote, "You should absolutely be racist whenever it's to your advantage." With that, even more newspapers put out statements saying his views did not align with their values. The cartoonist did get some support from at least one prominent business person, though, Elon Musk. He tweeted yesterday to say it's actually the media that's, quote, racist against whites and Asians. As for Dilbert, this seems like the end of an era. It was first created in 1989 and at its peak appeared in more than 2,000 newspapers. Major League Baseball spring training kicked off over the weekend, and already there's been some controversy over new rules, specifically the pitch clock. Starting this season, pitchers will only have 15 seconds to throw a pitch with the bases empty and 20 seconds with a runner on the base. Otherwise, they get a ball. And batters get a strike if they're not set in the batter's box within 8 seconds. MLB officials say the idea is to create less downtime and shorten the time between baseball's most exciting actions. A few team managers said they liked the change, but not everyone agrees. In at least one game, it left players and fans pretty confused. The game was between the Boston Red Sox and Atlanta Braves. It was tied in the bottom of the ninth inning with two outs and the bases loaded. And Braves player Cal Conley was at the plate. But the umpire decided Conley wasn't ready within 8 seconds. And with that, he got an automatic third strike. Even Conley didn't realize he was the one who was being called out at the time. And announcers and fans really got riled up over this. But it happened, and the game ended in a tie. So now baseball executives acknowledge the rule will take some getting used to, but they say that's what spring training is for and that things should go more smoothly by opening day. One of Hollywood's biggest nights went on like never before. After more than two decades on television, the Screen Actors Guild Awards were only available streaming online last night on Netflix's YouTube page. The SAG Awards are significant since actors vote for each other, and it's often considered to be a preview of the Academy Awards. This year, the overwhelming winner was the movie Everything Everywhere All at Once. Also last night, Sally Field won the Lifetime Achievement Award, reflecting on her decades-long career that started in the 1960s. As for the next big award show, the Oscars are coming up in less than 2 weeks, March 12th on ABC. That's it for the main news, so now it's time for Money Monday, when we talk about one interesting money-related news story. But first, a message from our sponsor, Rothy's. From cutting down on using paper towels to repurposing certain containers, I'm trying to take some new small steps to being more sustainable this year. And one way I've continued to make a sustainable choice is buying and wearing Rothy's shoes. Rothy's shoes and bags, well, everything at Rothy's, is sustainably made with their signature thread repurposed from single-use plastic bottles, over 146 million and counting. Fan favorite shoes like the Flat and the Point are made from about 11 recycled plastic bottles. And the best-selling lightweight tote is made with about 618 grams of ocean-bound marine plastic. And yet, I would want to buy Rothy's regardless. It is such an easy choice because I love the look and feel of my Rothy's shoes. Both my flats were so comfortable right out of the box and have continued to treat my feet right every time I wear them. They are chic, sustainable, and have amazing quality. 45,000 five-star reviews and counting cannot be wrong. For stylish and sustainable shoes, shop Rothy's. And get $20 off your first purchase at rothys.com/newsworthy. That's $20 off your first purchase at R-O-T-H-Y-S, rothys.com/newsworthy. Okay, now back to Money Monday. It's being called a credit gap. Since the pandemic first started, no other age group in the U.S. has racked up debt at a faster pace than people in their 30s. That's according to the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. The bank says American 30-somethings have a collective balance of more than $3.8 trillion. That's a 27% jump from late 2019 and the steepest increase of any age group. So what's happening with millennials exactly? Well, the Motley Fool says they really have been dealt a rough hand. Most of them started their careers right around the time of the financial crisis of 2008. Then, as they were starting to turn a corner in their careers and start families, there was the pandemic. Then, of course, inflation. So the cost of childcare, starter homes, and cars are way more expensive now than they used to be, just as millennials have gotten into the market for all of it. Plus, that age group owes more student loan debt than any other in the country. So financial planners say Americans in their 30s may want to take some action now, like cutting back, making a budget, or starting a side gig, as a few examples. All right, thank you so much for listening today. We'll be back with much more news to know tomorrow. For now, have a great day.